hope you got something to write with. I hope you also brought your debts on a piece of paper. Somebody asked me, do I have to put my name on that piece of paper? No, but if you did, we're going to put it on Facebook and show everybody how in debt you are. No, we're not. We're not. At the end of the service, we're going to bring our debts to the altar. We're going to pray a debt cancellation prayer. I was going to do a fire tonight, but with the wind, we can't do it. I'm going to take those debts. We're going to bundle those up, and I'm actually going to take them to the land, and I'm going to burn them on the land. Where we're going, where we're moving out to. So anyway, if you haven't written your debts down, start thinking about them, write them down. In a moment, we're going to pray over them. All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for everybody in the room. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for the atmosphere. Thank you for the incredible worship that we just experienced. Now, Lord, we need you to speak to us. We need you to change our thinking. We need you to change our life. And tonight, Lord, as we talk about debt and talk about the Spirit of God concerning debt and what the Word of God says, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive the Word of the living God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. All right, go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as you're still finding your way over there, I want to start off tonight by doing a little bit of a recap over the last couple of weeks. A few weeks ago, I started a series of teachings entitled A Thousand Hills. We're basing that series of teaching out of a scripture that says our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Come on, say that out loud with me, please. Our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Now, the scripture says you're an heir and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, which means if he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and you're his heir, then they're your cattle too. Right? And we talked about how you have an anointing of increase on your life. Every human being is created with it. The earth is created with an anointing of increase. And when you put those things together and you do it God's way, you have a covenant of increase from God. God wants you blessed. The Bible says, 3 John verse 2, it's my will that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. God don't want to just save your soul. He wants you to also enjoy this life, and he wants you blessed, all right? So that's the reason we've been talking about this. In that first lesson, all I did was talk about our mindset concerning money, because I told you the breaking the spirit of poverty does not begin with giving. It begins with the way we think, right? So we dealt, first of all, with our mindset. The second lesson that I did Sunday, and if you were not here for this lesson Sunday, you need to go back and watch it. I told Pam, my wife, I said it was the best teaching I've ever done on the tithe and offerings. And so we talked about giving of tithes and offerings, what that means and why we do it and what happens when we do it. It's not enough to know that you need to do it. You need to know why and what happens as a result of it. And so I taught you a lot of stuff on Sunday, but one of the most powerful points I made was how in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve bestowed labor on every tree, but even though they bestowed labor on every tree, there was one tree, even though they worked on it, they could not touch the portion, and that God, and that Satan actually wrapped himself in that portion that they weren't supposed to touch, right? And we talked about how when they touched that, it brought a curse. And that's what happens when we touch God's portion. It brings a curse on our life. When we don't touch God's portion, we give God his portion, it brings a blessing on our life. Tonight, we're going to talk about breaking debt off of our lives. Tonight, the title of my message is going to be A War on Debt. Now, there's three things every single service that I've told you you have to do in order for this to work for you. Number one, first thing you've got to do is you've got to trust me as your man of God. I know that the enemy has sown the seed of deceit and mistrust between men and women of God and people of God concerning money, because we've all seen the abuses of money by preachers and people that claim to represent God. I'm not one of those people. We cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe his prophets, you'll prosper. When a man or woman of God teaches the word of God, and it is the word of God, wrap your faith around that that's being taught. You've got to trust me when it comes to the things I'm teaching, not just about money, but over everything that we teach. If you can't trust me, go to a church where you got a pastor you can trust. But find you a man of God or a woman of God that you can trust. Number two, you've got to believe that what I'm teaching is going to manifest in your life. Doesn't do any good for me to teach and you not believe that it's going to work for you. It's a colossal waste of time for you to come on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning and give me an hour of your time and your undivided attention only to walk out of here and say, well, that was great teaching, but I don't think it'll work in my life. I'm telling you what I'm teaching will work for every single person under the sound of my voice. The Word of God is not a respecter of person, and it will accomplish what He sends it to do, right? Third thing you've got to do is you've got to take action, and you've got to move in faith toward that which was taught. Two people today have contacted me. One of them before service, one of them came up right before I walked up to the podium and said, I got to tell you, I did what you said Sunday. I couldn't afford to do the full portion, but I just started moving. Like you said, I started somewhere, started moving, and God has already canceled debts for me, and God's already provided for me supernaturally. Come on, somebody. Right? I'm telling you, listen to me, child of God. The Word of God works. The Word of God works, right? So, no matter what we do, we've got to move in faith toward it. Faith without works is dead. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. And I figured what I'd do tonight is, since we're all going to get out of debt tonight. Guys, are y'all all right? Since we're all going to get out of debt tonight. I figured what I'd do is I'd start out giving you something to shout about. Deuteronomy 8, 17. You say in your heart that my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. God says, you've said in your heart that your might, your power has gotten you this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto your fathers as it is this day. Let's read verse 18 together out loud. This is going to get good here. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that giveth you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. One more time. Y'all ready? Read it. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives thee power to get well, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, in the Old Testament, you've got Hebrew and Aramaic primarily. And in the New Testament, you have Koine Greek. These words are so powerful. When the translators go to transliterate from Hebrew into English or any other language, they do their best to capture all the meaning. One of the things that I learned when I was in Bible college, and I took 4 years of Hebrew, and then I turned around and took 4 years of New Testament Greek, about drove me crazy. One of the things I learned is, how many has ever in here heard somebody speak in tongues, and it might be two or three sentences, and then all of a sudden somebody stands up and interprets it, and it's like a 3-minute interpretation, right? Have you ever wondered in your mind, was that accurate? Well, here's what I've learned about Greek and Hebrew. It's very difficult sometimes with some words to capture all the meanings of those words and put it into the language where people can understand it with all the nuances. Anybody who's ever studied big biblical languages will tell you it's very intense and deep. So, for example, one word for the English language might take an entire sentence to say, whereas a Hebrew would look at, our Jew would look at that word and they would see all of it and they would transliterate it in their mind very quickly, right? So we lose sometimes in transliteration from one language to the next, we lose some nuances and some meanings. And as a result, we don't get the full brevity of what's being said. Well, this phrase right here that we all just said out loud together It is He that gives you the power to get wealth. Power to get wealth. There is some words there that we need to look at. The first word is the word power there. And it's the Hebrew word kahil. And it literally means a force. It's a force. Now, it can be a force of men. It can be a force of means. It can be a force of resources. In fact, when you study the word, it can refer to an army. It can refer to wealth, virtue, strength, forces, goods, a host, mighty, power. These are all words that you could use to translate this word. Riches, strength, strong, substance. These could all be words, right? So when the Bible says, remember the Lord, it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, He's really talking about a force. It's a force. There's a force that comes to your life as a child of God who does it God's way. There's a force. Tell them I said hello. Mute those phones. There's a force. I'm teaching the word, folks. This word right here could change your life forever. There's a force. Are y'all listening to me? That comes on the child of God's life who does it God's way. Amen. Now, the scripture says here, He gives you the force to get wealth. Now, the word wealth there is the Hebrew word kil, which literally comes from a primitive root, which means to twist, to whirl like a tornado. So when you really look at these words and you put it together, here's what it literally says. God wants to release a force of wealth like a tornado upon your life. So I'm gonna read it again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 17 or 18 here. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get. No. It's He that gives you the force to get wealth like a tornado coming on your life. Child of God, I want to tell you something. The days of being broke need to be done with your life. God wants to release the force of wealth like a tornado, like a tsunami, like a storm coming on your life. Now, y'all saw how the tornado destroyed Cookeville. Can you imagine a tornado of wealth coming into the child of God's hand? Now, the Bible says in the last days, God's going to do something. He's going to call the wealth of the sinner to be delivered over into the hands of the righteous. Now, I got anybody in here that's righteous? Anybody in here bought with the blood of Jesus? I'm telling you, God wants to release a force on your life of wealth like a tornado. All right? Now, the reason I'm teaching you this is because I'm trying to give you faith to believe that this tornado of wealth is going to hit your life and help you cancel your debts. Everybody in here has got debts of some sort. If you don't have debts, your family's got debts. We're going to cancel. We're believing God supernaturally. Now, we have Financial Peace University for you to go and you learn how to compound your money and use that money and be wise and have a budget. So I'm not negating all of the wisdom when it comes to handling money and saving. You need to do that. What I'm saying is there's a supernatural side to God when it comes to your money as well. And I want to prove it to you with the Word of God. I want to share, just everybody look at the screen because we're going to hit these fast. Let's throw up Romans chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Romans 13, verse 7 and 8. Render therefore to all their taxes to whom taxes are due. I put this in here because y'all are in tax season. And I don't want nobody to go to hell for cheating the government. Render all their due taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Look at verse number 8 now. And owe no one anything. Say that out loud. Owe no one anything. The only thing you're supposed to be in debt to somebody for is to love them. So God gives us a command, folks, to owe no one anything. My goal is not to owe any man anything. owe no one nothing. Now, in our culture, they want you to just go borrow yourself deeper and deeper and deeper. I want to owe no man anything except to love him. Right? And that's what the Word of God says. Owe nobody anything. So debt is contrary to how we should live. We should live debt-free. Right? Or as debt-free as possible. Let me show you Proverbs 22, verse 7 and 8 here. Proverbs 22, the rich rules over the poor. Now, why do we not need to owe anybody anything? Because the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant or a slave to the lender. Now, I'm trying to work something with the bank so that we can go, and I'm going to show you that borrowing money is not a sin. I'm going to show you that in a moment. I'm going to prove it with the Word of God, so don't run ahead of me. I've been trying to go to the bank. But do you know, if I go to the bank, I got to do everything they tell me to do the way they want it done. Not the way I can say, well, this is the way I want to do it. They don't care how I want to do it. Do you know why? Because the rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. If you come borrow money from me, you got to do it, pay it back, handle that money the way I tell you to handle that money. I'm in control. You're not in control. Right? So, owe no one anything. Why? Because if you owe somebody, you're a slave to that individual or that corporation, right? Let me just talk about this for a moment. The rich rules over the poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. Now, if you take these two scriptures together, owe no one anything, and the borrower is servant to the lender, then what it sounds like is it's sin to be in debt. I want you to write this down somewhere. Write it down. Write this down. Write this down. Debt is not a sin. It's a restraint. Write that down. Debt is not a sin. It's a restraint. Debt is not a sin. It's a restraint. Now, let me prove this to you. If debt is a sin, and you and I are called in the Bible a lender and not a borrower, which means we lend money, we don't borrow it, then that means everybody we lend money to, we participate in their sin. That's right. Debt is not a sin, it's a restraint. Debt hinders you. It doesn't condemn you. Whew. So let me just free you up tonight. If you have debt, you're not under any condemnation in here tonight. It's just a restrainer for you. But God wants to break the restraint off of you so that you can be free, right? So the scripture says the borrower is servant to the lender. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 6. Deuteronomy 15, verse 6. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. God's will for your life is that you be the lender. Now, I don't know a whole lot of broke Jewish folks. Do you know why? Because they don't borrow money from a lot of people. They're the lenders. They're controlling the money. Right? It's not a bad thing. They're following the Word of God. That principle right there has blessed them. That principle also applies to you and can bless you. Let's read it again. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. And you're going to be a lender. And you're not going to be a borrower. I want everybody in this room, including myself and Pam tonight, to come into agreement with the Word of God that God wants to bless us so much financially that we're the lender. Yes. That we will not have to go borrow money to get things we want. That we will be the lender, not the borrower. Right? All right, let's look at another passage of Scripture here. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 12 through 14. Deuteronomy 28, 12 through 14. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend, there it is again, to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Verse 13, And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. How many has ever claimed I'm the head, not the tail? Let me see hand. That phrase, being the head, not the tail, means that you are the lender and not the borrower. Right? You're above only, not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. In other words, God says, if you'll do it my way, I'll open the heavens over your life. You'll be the lender. You won't have to be the borrower. You'll be above only. You won't have to be beneath, because my blessing is going to rest on your life. Now look at me. That's better. That's better. Right? Debt is not a sin, but it is a restraint. This right here is the better way. Now let's look at verse number 28 in that same chapter here. Deuteronomy 28, verse, or 44 rather. Deuteronomy 28, 44. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. Now what he's talking about here is if you don't observe. See, the first half of the chapter is the blessings for doing it God's way. The last half of the chapter is the curses for not doing it God's way. Everybody say curse. I want you to write this down because this is not in my notes tonight. Write this down. I'm going to give you the definition of a curse. Because we think a curse is this spiritual thing that happens in the atmosphere, right? And there could be something like that. But let me just give you a simple definition. A curse is the consequences of not doing it God's way. It's the consequences of disobedience. That's all the curse is. Whenever you don't do it God's way, you suffer the consequences of disobedience. God says, look, do it my way. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be above only, not beneath. You'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Come on, somebody. But if you don't do it my way, this is going to be a result. They're going to have to lend to you. You're going to have to be going and borrowing money. And you'll not be the lender. He'll be the head and you'll have to be the tail. This is the consequence for not doing it God's way. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of being the tail. Right? I want to be the head, not the tail. This is the curse right there. Now, I'm going to have you write some things down. I already said this to you, but I'll have you look at it again. Write it down if you did not write it down. Debt is not a sin. It is a restraint. How's it a restraint? It's a restraint because debt controls life choices. If God were to speak to you tonight and say, hey, I want you to give $500,000 and pay off that land. If you're in debt, you can't do that. If God were to speak to you tonight and say, hey, I want you to bless your child with a car for graduating from college. If you're head over heels in debt, you can't do that. If God were to speak to you tonight and say, hey, I want you to go down here to St. Jude's. There's a child down there battling cancer, and I want you to pay this much money on the hospital bill. If you're in debt, you can't do that. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Debt restrains life choices. You got to get tired of living under that restraint. You've got to get tired of living under that restraint. Second thing I want you to write down tonight is this. You're already on the pathway to debt-free living. You're already on the pathway to debt-free living. Some of y'all looking at me say, like, Pastor, you don't know my situation. I am not on the pathway to a debt-free life. Yes, you are. I told you. You got to trust me as your man of God. Number two, you got to believe what I'm teaching is going to work for your life. Number three, you got to take some faith and you got to move toward it. You're already on the path to debt-free living. Now, that should have made you get it really excited, jump up and slap your neighbor. You say, how in the world am I on the way to debt-free living? Let me have everybody in this room go to the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse number 7. Romans chapter 4, verse number 7. Y'all there? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute his sin. Let me give you another translation. One translation says, blessed is the man that the Lord doesn't hold his sin debt against him. How many of you are born again in this room? Washed in the blood. When you got born again, you had a debt that was erased from your life. So I want them to put that point back up again. You're already on the pathway to debt-free living. The day you got saved, you started getting out of debt. Y'all missed a good opportunity. I said the day you got saved, you already started getting out of debt. For those of you who don't believe in a debt-canceling God, you're not born again. Because the only way you can be born again is for your debt to be canceled. Right? The Bible says he takes them and throws them as far as the east is from the west. I got to thinking about that today. I was flying around with Rick Richter not too long ago. We was flying to a meeting he was taking me to. And we were talking about how the compass is set north and south, right? And you have this, you can fly due north on that compass, straight north. If I went just directly north, I'd fly right over the North Pole. If I flew directly toward that compass pointing north, right? 0 degree heading. 0 degree heading. Flew right directly north on that compass. There's one on there, right? It has all these numbers. 0 degree heading, north, due north. 0 degree, boom. If I were to fly and keep flying, as soon as I cross the North Pole, I'm talking about as soon as I cross the line where the North Pole is, all of a sudden, that compass would flip around and I'd be going 180 degrees. Do you know why? Because I know where north is. I can take you there. I can measure it with instruments. I know where south is. I can measure. But did you know you could get in a plane right now? Check me out on this. You could get in a plane right now and you can start flying east or west and you'll never, ever. If you had enough gas that you could fly for 3 weeks or 4 weeks straight, you'll never, ever come to the end of the... It'll maintain that heading east. It'll maintain that heading west. And it'll never flip around. Do you know why? That's the reason that God says, I throw your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them. So when you got saved, I want you to think about and trying to build your faith for your finances. Because listen, which one's harder to do? Is it harder to pay off your school loan or is it harder for you to be forgiven of your sin? Forgiveness of sin is harder, but thanks be to God, we've got a Redeemer. Come on, somebody. He wiped our debt sin away. So I want you to set your faith concerning your finances and your debts. I want you to use the same faith you used to get born again toward those debts. I want you to start looking at those debts like your sin that's been cast away. Like the blood of Jesus that paid for that, right? The Bible says God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not just die for your sin debt. He also died for everything else. So I want you to use the same faith. I'm preaching, so I'm about to get happy. I want you to use the same faith. See, some of y'all think it's so hard to get out of debt. It's so hard to believe God to do a miracle in the air of my finances. No, it's not. I got news for you. You have not dug a hole too deep that God can't get you out of it tonight. If he could get you out of the sin pit that you were, if he could translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, if he could rescue you out of the jaws of hell and write your name in the Lamb's book of life, he can break that debt off of. Hallelujah. You say, where'd you get that from? Well, I was riding around on the land the other day and I was believing God for the land. I said, Lord, this is such a big task. He said, well, your sin was a big task, but it took care of it. He said, why don't you just believe me to take care of this? Right? Say this out loud with me. Say, I'm already on the path to living debt free. Come on, say, I'm already on the path to living debt free. Say, watch out, devil. You can't stop me. I'm already on the path to being debt free. Come on, give the Lord a praise for it. Now, I've only got a 3-point message, and this is my third point. Number one, my first point, put them up, guys. The first point, debt is not a sin, but it is a restraint. First point. Second point, you're already on the pathway to debt-free living. Third point, mix faith with simple action, and the supernatural will occur. Mix faith with simple action, supernatural occur. For example, did you know statistically speaking, if the more debt you have, the faster you can get out of debt? Right? We teach you this in the financial peace class. You pay off your smallest debt first. You take that payment, you apply it to the next debt with that payment. You pay off that debt, you take those two payments, you're snowballing debt. You can get out of debt faster the more debt you're in. Go home, do the math, add it up, you'll see what I'm saying. Right? Y'all looking at me like people used to come to sit down in a car dealership with my daddy and we'd do the deals and they'd look at the numbers at the bottom and they couldn't figure out how we come to the numbers. You can get out of debt. Right? So listen to me. We've got to use faith like we did with our spiritual walk. But we've also got to use some practical action to move toward it. Again, what I tell you from the very beginning, you got to believe in me as your man of God. You got to trust me. You got to believe what I'm teaching is going to work for your life. And then number three, you got to take some kind of action. Sunday morning, the action we took was, I'm going to start somewhere with my tithe. If I've got myself in such a mess, I can't afford to tithe, I'm going to start somewhere. And then I'm going to say, okay, God, I'm doing this and I'm believing you. And the Bible says God will give seed to the sower. God doesn't give seed to people who don't sow. God's looking for sowers. So he's trying to find somebody he can trust with the seed. If God knows that you'll be a giver and do what you're supposed to do with his portion, he gives seed to the sower. And then the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 9, he multiplies seed sown. Look at me. When you take action, practical action, mix it with faith, the anointing of multiplication and increase comes on everything you touch. So I don't care how bad a trouble you're in right now financially, do it God's way. And before you know it, you'll look up. And you'll be the lender and not the borrower. All right? Do it God's way. All right. So, I've got to try to figure out. Let me give you some sub-points under this one. Write this down. This is so important. Well, I'm getting ready to come to the conclusion of my message. This is so important. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. At some point, if you're going to get out of debt, you got to stop borrowing. Right? I know we all want things, right? There's things we want, and the only way we, at some stages in our life, can get it is to go get a loan. Maybe it's a house loan or whatever that is for you. I'm not saying it's sin. Just understand what you're getting yourself into. When you do it, it becomes a restraint. But when you get into whatever agreement you get into, start believing God to get you out of debt. But don't do this. Don't go out, borrow, and get yourself up neck deep and then expect God to bail you out. Look at me. There is the curse, which is the consequence for disobedience. How did we start this thing? Owe no man nothing but to love him. The reason I'm saying this, because people come and they'll talk to me about the finances, and I'll say, how'd you get, well, I borrowed this, and I borrowed that, and I borrowed this. Well, I borrowed this thinking I could pay off that, and I borrowed that, and they're leveraging stuff. And there's some business principles with leveraging to do things. A lot of people made a lot of money leveraging. I'm not against that. I'm just simply saying when it comes to your personal finances, you have to understand you cannot borrow your way into prosperity. The borrower is servant to the lender. Y'all understand me? Say yes?
Yes.
All right. Here's the next little sub point under this. When you take faith action, the enemy will always retaliate with fear action. The moment you take a faith action, when Pam and I shared our testimony Sunday, Pam and I got in ourselves such a bad shape financially that we couldn't afford to give at all. We were attending a church here in town, and I sat down with man of God in the church, one of the men of the church, and I started talking to them about finance, said, we need help. We showed them our bills. It was the most embarrassing night of my life to show this man that I went to church with my bills. Laid it all out on the table. He literally looked at us and said, Shane, there's no way out of this in the natural. In the natural, bankruptcy is the only option. In the natural. And he said this to me. He said, since there's no way out in the natural and you can't get yourself out, why don't you try doing it God's way and let God do something supernatural? Right? Start somewhere. I couldn't afford to give. He said, start. He said, what can you give? $5, $10, $7, $8? What can you give? And I can't remember what it was. Do you remember what it was, the amount? I just remember it was a small amount, and I was embarrassed that I was even doing that in church. But every week, Pam and I get together, and we'd start doing that. Next thing I know, we look up, doing better, we're doing better. Next thing I know, we look up, we got our own house. Y'all should have saw us. When we built our first house, 1,150 square foot. It was like the Jeffersons moving on up. It was like walking into the Taj Mahal. Literally. We were so proud of this little bitty house. So proud of it. Start where you can. Don't touch God's portion. Start where you can. If you'll take a faith action, as soon as you do it, here's what's going to happen. The devil's going to come along whispering here. He's going to wrap himself in God's portion. He's going to tell you, you can't afford to do that. And if you do that, you'll go under for sure. Well, I got news for you. You're going to go under for sure if you don't do it God's way. Yeah. Right? Do it God's way. But when you do it, always know fear comes to attack faith. Right? So since I gave you that principle, I thought I'd close tonight by telling you some stories. Can I tell you some stories?
Sure.
I mean, these stories are amazing. Brilliant stories. Y'all want to hear some brilliant stories? Yeah. Nothing like testimonies, is there? Oh, by the way, they're not my story. I'm going to tell you other people's story that I think is going to help you. Let me pull a couple people. I want you to imagine them coming on the stage tonight and giving you their testimony. The first one is the children of Israel in Egypt. They're slaves. They have no money. None. In fact, they're all in debt. Because if you had a child, they belonged to Pharaoh. They didn't belong to you. They're slaves in Egypt. They don't own anything. In fact, they're paying a high rent on everything they're living in. They've even went to Aaron's Rent-A-Center, and they're renting all the furniture they're living in or sleeping on. Right? Listen to what the Bible says. I want to give you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 105:37. And just listen to me. Everybody look right here and listen. The Bible says, when God moved them out, he brought them forth out of Egypt with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble among them. Now look at me. They're in debt up to their eyeballs. They don't own nothing. They're renting everything from Pharaoh. But when God moved supernaturally for them, He brought them out, and they didn't walk out broke. They walked out with gold and silver in their hands. I told you, you can't be in a hole that's too deep, that God can't bring you out of that. I got news for you. All the gold and silver don't belong to Microsoft. And Apple don't have all the gold and silver. And Elon Musk, as rich as he is, it don't belong to him. The Bible says the silver is mine and the gold is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. It all belongs to God. And I got also some other news for you. He has an attitude. He thinks he's God. He thinks he's in charge. And he thinks he can do with whatever he wants to do with his money. Which means at any moment that God wants to bless you, can't no devil in hell, can't no banker, can't no lawyer, can't nobody stop the blessing of God on your life when the windows of heaven are open over you. God can bring you out. You could be broke, busted, and disgusted tonight, and God could bring you out with silver and gold tomorrow because he's a debt-canceling God. Exodus 3 verse 22 says about them, listen to this, every woman go borrow from her neighbor of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Now think about this. Don't borrow from nobody, right? Borrow servant. Look how the devil turned, or God turned the tables on the enemy. He told the Jews the night before they left, he said, go borrow all the money you can from your neighbors. So they're running around to the Egyptians. Yeah, can I get $5? I need $5. I need $5 for that 1/16th of a tank of gas it'll buy me. I need $5. Right? They're running around borrowing jewels. Hey, I got a party. I need some earrings. Give me some diamond earrings. And the Bible says when God did it, do you know why God said, go get that money from them? Because they had been using them as slaves to get ahead in their life. And the tables of injustice flipped over. And God said, I'm going to bless them because they've been taken for everything they have as the result of the work of your hands. It don't even belong to them. It actually belongs to you. I'm going to bless the work of your hands. And so God turned the tables on the enemy. Mm-mm. Exodus 12:36 says this, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And the Lord gave the people favor. And the Lord gave the people favor. I'm prophesying over you now. And the Lord is going to give you favor. The Lord is going to give you favor. You're coming out of this mess that you're in because the Lord is going to give you favor. And look at what happens when he gives you favor. They lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. God, listen to this. One day they're beating them, and the next day they don't even know why they're doing it. They're giving them money. Oh, you're going on a trip? Let me pay for your vacation. This is what's happening in Egypt. Y'all see the insanity of this? One day they're beating them. Put them bricks in the wall. Right? And that night they're saying, I think we ought to send y'all on a cruise. And they start pulling out $100 and giving them. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Listen, when the favor of God comes on your life, he'll cause even people who hate you, even people who abuse you, even people who do you wrong, he'll cause them to change their mind about what they're doing and start blessing you instead of hurting you. Mm-mm-mm. I had a man one time come and he gave me a gift for our ministry. He said to me, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't even like you. He told me that. Over $100,000. He said, Jerry, he said, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't even like you. I don't even listen to your preaching. And I said, well, why are you giving it to me? He said, because God spoke to me and told me that I'm supposed to give this money to this ministry. He said, but I don't know. I just don't like you. Come on. I want some more people not to like me like that. You can hate me. Some of y'all have no idea what that means. Don't go look it up. Can I give you a second story? Mosaic law. In the Mosaic law, God weaves commandments for debt cancellation every seventh year. All the debts canceled. Every seventh year. Can you imagine in America? If every 7 year. Can y'all imagine what would happen tomorrow if in America they stood up and said, hey, I tell you what, we've decided everybody gets a clean slate. Wherever you're at in life right now, you start from there, you don't owe nothing. Debt canceled. Can you imagine that? I'm telling you right now, they do that tomorrow, Jerry, I'm coming and I'm going to bless you with some good. And then check this out. Every 50 years,
the land that
had been taken or sold or exchanged for different things comes back to the original owner. It doesn't matter that in 50 years it changed hands 30 times. It's coming back to the original owner of the land. Why is that? Because God wanted to tell his people, I'm a debt-canceling God. I'm a debt-canceling. I'm trying to build your faith tonight that you're not in too deep of a hole that God can't bring you out. Right? All right. Another story? What about the widow woman and Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4? The Bible says, in fact, can we just go over there, 2 Kings 4? I got to read you this one. I don't know if I'll share all these stories. I'm just going to share a few here. 2 Kings chapter 4. Y'all over there? And a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my sons to be his slaves. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Just because you serve the Lord doesn't mean you don't have financial trouble.
Ooh,
right? He's one of the sons of the prophets. Doing ministry with the greatest prophet in Israel. He dies, and obviously he owes a big debt. His wife can't pay it. So what they're doing is they're going to come and take the male children from the house to work to pay off the debt, which meant they probably worked the rest of their life as indentured servants or slaves. Right? This is what Elisha walked into. So Elisha said to her, what can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? If you got your Bible open, you need to underline that in your Bible. What do you have in your house? Look at me. Everything you need for your miracle is already in your hands.
Yep, that's right.
It's already in your house. Now, while I'm preaching this, somebody in here is thinking about something in your house that you could sell or whatever. Everything you need for your next miracle is in your house. Look at me. Everything we need for where we're going is already here.
Right.
It's just a principle. You're always trying to get it from somewhere else. It's all around you. It's right there. You've already possessed it. You already possess enough to get your miracle. You already possess it, right? So he says to her, what do you have in your house? She said, well, your maidservant has nothing but a jar of oil. Well, it's nothing to her, but it's something to God. Look at me. You could have something in your possession that you don't think anything about, but God says that's your key to coming out. Right? Man, I really want to preach this whole deal here. Then he said to her, go borrow some vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors. Get some empty vessels. Don't just gather a few. You got to get a bunch. And when you've come in, you should shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set it aside, all the full ones aside. So she went from him and she shut the door behind her and her sons who brought vessels to her. She started pouring it out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came out and she told the man of God and said, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now look at me. This woman was in debt. She's in a hole she couldn't get out of. She's in such a deep hole that they're going to come and take her sons and make them slaves for the rest of their life. She has an encounter with a man of God who basically says, everything you need is already in your possession. What do you have? I don't have nothing but this jar of oil. He said, a jar of oil. You've got some oil in that jar? Yeah, but it's not much. But you got a little oil in that jar? Right? Go borrow all the jars you can. And she goes running and she borrows all the jars she can. He said, now just start pouring out of that little bit you got. Look at me. Use what you got. Use what you got. She starts pouring it out, but the problem is the more she pours, the more she has. She starts filling up. And look at this. She gets to the end. She goes, man, God. She said, look at all this stuff. He said, now go sell it. Pay off all your debts. Supernatural debt cancellation. And then says this to her. I love this part. Then he says this to her. He says, go now, you and your sons, and live on the rest. Look at me. One act of obedience not only canceled her debt, but gave her her retirement fund. One act of obedience. Yeah. That's the widow woman, you know. I said, hey, that's the widow woman. That's Elisha. You ain't Elisha. Yeah. You don't know. Come on, you don't know. You don't know when could be your moment with God, when something supernatural, something big, something awesome could happen. I believe it could happen tonight. All right, I'm done. Adam, come to the keyboard. I'm done. But I got to give you one. I got to give you one or two more here. Just real. But this is going to be real fast. This is going to be fast, right? Check this out. Matthew chapter 17. Peter comes to Jesus and says, oh, Lord, we got problems. Jesus, we got problems, bro. We got problems, man. We got problems, bro. I'm telling you, we got problems. We got problems. We're in trouble. He said, what's the trouble? He said, them temple people wanting their taxes. It wasn't Caesar who wanted the taxes. Read your Bible. It was the leaders at church wanted the taxes. How'd you like to go to that kind of church? Sally, pastor sent me to get this week's, give me money, honey. Every week it's a shakedown, right? Lord Jesus, you are Lord, you are Jesus. We're in trouble. They come to get them taxes. We ain't going to ever be able to go back to that church again. You know how they be at that church. They want their dollar. We're not going to be able to go worship there anymore. It's the temple, Jesus. It's God's house. Jesus is saying to himself, I am God. It's my house. Anyway, so right? Jesus said, I tell you what you do. Don't freak out, Peter. I've canceled a few debts before. Go get you a fishing pole. Go down to the Sea of Galilee. I tell you what you do. Don't even put no bait on the hook. Just put the hook on the line. And the first fish you catch, pull it out. You're not going to have to fish all day. Do you know why? Because some fishermen, folks, think about this. Some fisherman who was carrying around gold, he must have been a wealthy dude in biblical times. carrying around gold coins. Some fisherman somewhere on the Sea of Galilee was out there fishing and must have fell in the water and the gold come out of his pockets. And one of these fish, that looked like a cracker. And Jesus said, go down there, throw your hook in the water. And the first fish you catch, look at me. The cattle's mine. The gold is mine. The silver's mine. I don't care if a fish has got it in his mouth. I know how to get it to you. I don't care if it's at the bottom of the ocean. If I got to dig it out of the bottom of the ocean to get you taken care of, that's what I'm going to do. He catches a fish, pulls it out. Lord, a gold coin in a fish's mouth. I know it's tax season and some of y'all freaking out. Maybe God just wants you to go down to the Caney Fort and fish for some trout. Right? Look at me. One more. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Onesimus. It's in the book of Philemon. I dare you go home and read Philemon tonight. Onesimus is a slave. And the whole book of Philemon is Paul writing to Onesimus's master saying, hey, cancel his debt. Now let me tell you how big a deal that is. If you're a slave in biblical times, you're an indentured servant in biblical times. He was probably a slave because he was paying off somebody else's debt already. If you ran from a slave owner in biblical times, you got 10 years for every day that you were gone. Do you know that it is estimated, because by the time you get Onesimus, he's in Rome. It's estimated that it took Onesimus as much as 10 years to get to Rome. He had a debt he could never pay. Watch what God does. God saves Onesimus, connects him with Apostle Paul, who happens to be a friend of the joker in Philemon, and says, hey, do a brother a favor. Forgive his debt. And Onesimus, whose life was ruined forever, in one moment, got free. Listen to me. My God is a debt-canceling God. My God, y'all better say it with me. My God is a debt-canceling God. All right? So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to believe for God to cancel debts. Y'all got them in your hand? Get them out. Get them out. Get them out. Adam, you sang a song Sunday, a slower song after the last Adonai song. I can't remember what it was. Here's what we're going to do tonight in closing. I'm going to pray. I want you to take those debts. Put your hand. I'm going to ask Pam to come up here. We've got ours on our piece of paper. And we're getting ready to pray. And then an act of faith. We're going to bring it to the altar. And you don't, listen, if you want to just lay it here, you can. All I'm asking you to do is by faith today, all I was doing today when I sent out the text was, I just want you to take an action. Notice I'm making you do something. Take an action. Right? This is what we're going to do. We're going to take an action. We're going to put this on the altar. The ushers will be standing at the back. If the Lord tells you to give something, give it. If the Lord don't tell you to give anything, don't give it. The action could be this. That the action today could have been you writing it down. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But whatever he tells you, I'm going to tell you like they told him, like mama told him. Mama said, whatever he says do, do it. Because if you do it, water going to be turned into wine. Right? Whatever he says, whatever he says. This is the problem I have with prosperity circles. They want to tell you what you're going to give and how much you're going to get as a result of it. I'm not that way. I don't believe in that. I believe every man is a purpose in his heart, so let him. And it could be that the giving tonight doesn't go in this bucket. It could be the giving tonight means to buy somebody a meal or a cup of coffee or help a poor person that's standing on the side of the road. That could be the giving. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Right? Now get those debts in your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Pam and I come into agreement over everything that's written down, and even things that they forgot to write down. We know you're a debt-canceling God. Now, Lord, we don't expect to live foolishly and unwise and to have your blessing. That's not it at all. But, Father, many of us, just like when we were a sinner, we've got ourselves in so deep we could never get ourselves out. And just as you forgave our sin and cast them as far as the east is the west, and you'd canceled our sin debt, we're asking you right now to cancel these financial debts. Whatever they are, whatever bills are written down here, whether it's mortgages or car notes, student loan debts, hospital debts, medical bills, whatever it is, God, whatever the debt is, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus. Pam and I are coming into agreement. You said if one can put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. Right now, I'm claiming miracle, supernatural, something that can't be done in the natural. Supernatural debt cancellation for you to wipe the slate clean. And I pray over the next couple of weeks that people will start running in here and they'll start testifying in front of this congregation. I had this debt and Pastor prayed and God came and canceled that debt and made a way and brought me out of my Egypt with gold and silver and nothing feeble in my life. I thank you, Lord, that right now the anointing of debt cancellation is on our life. Tonight is the brokest we'll ever be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, stand up with me in this room. Adam's going to start worshiping the Lord. Tonight, as you come up here and put your debts on the altar. However the Lord wants you to do it. If you feel like you need to pray over them, you do that. You can put them in these buckets. We're going to take them to the land and burn them. And I'll post a video of me burning them on the land and praying over them. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now, and then you can be dismissed.
Oh, so faithful. You are faithful. Oh, so faithful. What a privilege.
For those of you who are watching at home, write your debts down. Pray over them, put them in a bucket and burn them. You don't have to be here to get this miracle.
You're my Savior.
You're my Savior. After you do this, you can be dismissed. God bless you as you leave the room.